Enjoy the film.
You want butter on your popcorn?
The theater will be ready in a second.
Kyle, your hair is growing back in. It actually looks pretty good.
Thank you. Yeah. I feel like I should have just kind of shaved it all down, because the hair on the sides and the front and the back of is a continue to grow, but now I kind of got
it
like a
grows
little...
a lot quicker too, it seems.
Yeah, I got a little buzz cut in the middle, and then around the sides it's like shoulder length.
It kind of looks like if a heavy rocker was just wearing a little fur cap.
Sure.
It looks like if an armadillo were to wear a dress.
Wait, is my head the armadillo?
It looks like a raccoon wearing a hula skirt.
It looks like a hairy watermelon walking through tall grass.
I'm glad for the sake of our listeners that you guys are painting such a vivid picture of this. And accurate.
When I said it looked good, that might have been
interesting is a better word. It looks interesting.
It's unique.
It's a choice.
I mean,
is it though?
It's your fault. You guys remember that you shaved the top of my head when you were trying to get that the foam cowboy hat off.
Did you want it off your head or not?
I was honestly like fine with it there. But you both seemed really to
You're want. Right, you're right. That hat was awful. It needed to come
it
off.
It was a pretty bad hat. It was a pretty terrible. I don't know why we kept it, is the thing. Why did we keep the hat?
I don't know. It was briefly
my
signature
thing. Well, it
looks good on the wall.
Well, I mean, it certainly does match the decor around here.
A cut-up blue foam cowboy hat matches the decor?
It goes with all the sports paraphernalia we have around.
Yeah, that signed baseball that was signed by the 1956 New York Yankees.
I've been meaning to ask, do you guys know where all this sports paraphernalia has been coming from?
This was actually a part of an old project that Steve was doing. Steve, a while back, before he got into daredevilry, he was actually trying to get Timberdale as the center for sports history.
Right. He was trying to get them to build a stadium here, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was trying to get a stadium. He was trying to get a museum's license.
Why? And he was trying to get landmark status. For
landmark
the entire
status,
city?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's a noble cause. But why is all this stuff out now?
Well, we were digging around and we found it.
I mean,
we were trying to clear out the auxiliary theater room for one of the workshops.
The storage.
Mm-hmm.
Storage theater.
Well, they call it storage, but it's really just Theater 9.
It's just another theater.
Theater 9. Yeah, they're doing rearranging and clutter
control
workshop. rearranging and clutter control.
So clearing out the storage theater was part of the workshop?
It was the workshop.
Was the workshop, yeah. Yes. It was a rousing success.
Now that all this stuff is out here, we're all done.
Sure.
Yeah. Sure. Yes. Yeah, signed gloves by Muhammad Ali. Some of this stuff could actually get some... Yeah, what the hell?
Steve's been sitting on this. The theater was falling into disrepair for years because he was unwilling to spend money on the theater.
But he bought a lot of sports memorabilia.
He bought a lot
Hundreds
of sports
thousands
memorabilia.
Of dollars, yeah.
This is a golf club. This is Jack Nicholson's golf club.
Did Jack Nicholson golf?
The actor Jack Nicholson
was a very good golfer.
Oh.
They have Brian Wilson's beard. That's one of a kind. I don't mean
goodness.
There's nothing like that.
We got Bob Costas's youthful face.
Just a lot going on now. Honestly, the break room is pretty cluttered. They moved all this stuff into here.
It is a little creepy. We've got Annabelle, a little doll of Annabelle. I don't remember her being there, though.
That's not even sports related.
She's got a hockey stick in her hand.
Oh, okay. There we go. Annabelle, the haunted doll you're
the
referring to?
The haunted doll.
We got Evander Holyfield's ear. I mean, again, We just have body parts, it seems. Body parts. And we could fill a museum, I think.
Did he ever get that museum license, or are we out of luck?
I feel like if Steve buried the Steve Clamation Proclamation deep under the theater in a treasure chest clutched by a skeleton, he's not just going to divulge whether he got museum license or not.
No. Yeah, he's going to keep that
deep, deep down in a
chest clutched by a skeleton underneath the theater.
Right.
We know what we have to do. We have to go find that treasure chest.
It's flooded. They're all flooded now.
It's just hypothetical,
too.
That's
right.
Henry was just guessing.
Speaking of the flooding.
Yes.
There has been a little bit of an update. Mm-hmm. I don't need to tell you two this because you live here.
Right.
But anyway.
Yeah.
The lizard people, they've been doing amazing work as far as aqueducts and...
Drainage.
What is the word I'm looking for? They were digging a bunch of ditches and they were controlling the flow of the water. They started growing crops.
Agriculture.
Agriculture. They started cultivating rice paddies. They started. They've made amazing strides in.
Farming?
Well, they're doing that, but particularly the control of the flow of water.
I don't think it's that important that we figure out the exact term.
Well, now I'm really worried about not knowing this word.
I mean, it's not a word podcast. Our listeners won't hold it against us.
It's not a word podcast.
Not a word podcast.
And if anything, they'd be called gooquaducts.
Now, this is something interesting about the rice that they've been growing, is that it's a particularly jelly-like. It's grown from goo, so it's got a particularly soft texture to it without cooking it.
Mm-hmm.
It's
green.
It's green.
It sure ain't jasmine rice, I'll tell you that much.
Ho ho! Jazz it up with Zatarain's.
Thanks to Zatarain's for sponsoring this episode of the podcast.
But yeah, so we're doing well. I think Timberdale's doing well. We're just continuing doing our workshops, growing goo and on rice. And
goo on rice.
Go together like goo on rice.
Still working really long shifts.
Just you, really. Doing your banking seminars.
Right. Well, I think all the other seminars have already run their course. They've gone through all the information because they're being taught by actual clones who are incredibly smart, and all the other clones absorb knowledge so quickly. But I still think they might think I'm my clone, and so they're expecting me to be teaching on the level of the clones, but I'm just a human, so I can only do so much, and I don't know about banking. So,
and how is Kyle McClonsky?
Yeah, what's he doing? When last I saw, he was wearing a towel around his neck, and he was running around jumping off of things.
Yes, he's been doing that a lot, specifically, and he's he learned to laugh recently, and that seems to be all he wants to do now.
Oh, is that what he's doing? I thought he was in pain. I thought he was screaming out for help.
It's
pretty upsetting, but from what I can gather, it is a joyful noise. But it's just nonstop.
Well, here's what it sounds like. It sounds like this. And he's jumping off of things doing this.
Yeah, with a towel wrapped around his neck. And he seems to hit his neck a lot on things. So like I feel like it's cushioning.
He'll
jump off
purpose.
Of something and land on his neck.
It's to the point where it almost seems like he's trying to do.
And I went to get him up. I was like, "Do you need help? Can I help you?" And he continued to scream at me.
Yeah.
Laugh.
And then he jumped, and then he would just get on something else. And I was like, okay, you know, not my stress. I'm not going to worry about
it.
Well, at least he's not hurting anyone.
At least he's not hurting anyone.
It has made even the brief amount of time I have to sleep difficult, just because pretty much all night he's just tearing around the apartment, laughing, jumping off of stuff. So I'm pretty sleep deprived right now, but I'm ready to start the podcast if you are.
I think that's where this is going.
All right. Well, welcome to Breaker of the Cineplex. My name's Kyle McClinsky.
My name is Greg Basil.
I'm Henry Harrison.
And this week we watched a movie, as you may have come to expect.
Or maybe not.
Yeah, you know, some week we might come in here and say, you know what, folks, we didn't watch a movie. Today we went outside and we looked at the sky.
But today is not that day.
No. We watched a goddamn movie.
We sure did.
Well, this has been Break Room at the Cinema.
That was great. Thank you, guys. And have a good week.
We just wanted to let you know that we watched a movie and everything's fine. Well, bye.
Let's not break format too much. Let's first describe the movie and then rate it and then maybe end the podcast.
Oh, and then we'll sign off. Okay, afterward. Okay, that
I'm into
sense.
It. I'm
that
into it.
Sense.
I'm into it. This movie... Ooh.
Oh, now we all want to start talking
about it.
Okay,
well, we're all excited about this one, clearly. Yeah.
We might as well say it at the same time.
Oh, no. The title or what?
The title.
Yeah, the title and then the description.
All right, ready? Uh-huh. It was called
The beleaguered.
Farce. The Blakers farce. It was called the Blakers farce.
So this film we watched is called the Blakers farce. And what a farce!
And what a farce this was.
It was pretty incredible.
It was pretty incredible. This was an early animated film. Mm-hmm. It was one of the first. Well, I know that Snow White and the Seven Dwarves was. I'm pretty sure that was thought to be the first full length animated film.
Mm-hmm. I believe so.
But it's completely false. It's a farce.
It's not true.
Walt Disney. He's a freaking hack.
What a fraud.
He's a loser.
Second place.
That's just first, last place.
Ha! Walt.
Right
the
under
dumb.
Blakers Farce.
Yeah. Blakers Farce.
Number one.
Came out just mere hours before Snow White and the Seven Dwarves.
Yeah. Yeah,
more like Blakers First.
Ha! Yeah.
So this movie was animated... by what was the studio's name? It was called Novella Studios.
It was Novella Studios. Novella Studios, which had been animating little commercials for decades before that.
Right.
They'd been animating little cigarette commercials and soda pop commercials and cocaine commercials.
Many of which appear in this film, as I think they were trying to make sure they hit the minimum time to call it a feature film.
Well, hey, right. you gotta get those sponsorships. You gotta honor the sponsors,
right? Like
jazz
Zatarain's.
It up with Zatarain's.
let's jump right into this comical animated film.
So this opens on there are two children. They're riding a boxcar train. Like they're the boxcar children, I guess, in loose terms.
Sure.
And they start with a little whistling tune. They got their feet dangling off the edge of the car, and they're just kind of chattering about, singing a little tune. Mm-hmm. And the boxcar is just rushing along, and they're singing a song about how hardworking they are and how they never get a break in life. And how they wish that their opportunity would come along.
Yeah, they both got bindles, you know, classic runaways.
Yeah, they're riding the rails.
Yeah,
and the train starts to come to a halt, and they ride into station. Well, it's not really like a station. It's where they do like industrial whatever. You know, they offload all the stuff.
Yeah,
so the train stops, and they hop off. And they're like, well, this must be our stop. And they kind of just start skipping down the lane.
Yeah, and the train engine yells from the tracks,
End of the line, industrial district. Hoot hoot.
So the kids get off the train. You know, they take advantage of this brief stop, and they're like, hey, now we can safely exit. And it's not long before they meet what ends up being sort of the antagonist of this film. It's mm-hmm. kind of in that classic fashion. You're going to have the cat and mouse. You're going to have the Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner. You're going to have the Tweety Bird and the Sylvester. This is their Wile E. Coyote.
Yes, except he's a weasel,
mm-hmm.
and this weasel is dressed up like a mobster. He's mm-hmm. got the hat, and he's got the pinstripe suit. Yeah, pinstripe suit, and he's got a cigar.
And he's holding a Tommy gun.
Mm-hmm, yeah, he's holding the Tommy gun, and he's got a bottle of hooch. He's got three X's on
it. In his other arm.
So there's all the hints that this guy might be a mob affiliated.
And he's flipping through a stack of money.
In his other hands. And the kids whistle along, and he kind of like does this like swick out of the shadows. Like there's like this, like a horn noise as he's kind of doing it. It's a cartoon. I mean, we all know how this works. And he slides out of the shadows. He's like, hey, kids, I got a proposition for you. You look like a couple of young strapping children. And they're like, oh, well, thank you, sir. We just rolled into town on that train car.
And we're looking for to turn our lives around. We're looking for work. Give us some work.
and the weasel, he's like, well, you're in luck. I seem to have an overabundance of work on my hands. My name's Randy. Wandy Weasler, by the way.
Wandy Weasler.
He has a speech impediment, actually. He says, I got work for you kids. And
I got and work, work for you kids.
This work involves... this work involves... you going into a place and coming out with other things for me, and and the kids are like, things for you? Like, we're just retrieving stuff for you? He's like, yeah, it's very simple, actually.
Mm-hmm.
We just
and it's very honest.
Swip wide and tiptoe into this building over here and tiptoe out with one little bag. And they're like, wow, that's... That seems really too good to be true.
One bag?
But it must
How
be.
Easy can that be?
So they he basically opens this door that he's been standing next to, and he's like, go on in. And they enter, and they look around, and they're in a bank.
Mm-hmm.
It closed. It's nighttime. But they're in this empty bank, but there's all these like searchlights, you know, going around, and there's guards patrolling. Yeah.
So the kids start sneaking in, and they're bobbing and weaving through the maze that is these searchlights, and they're going around, and one of them says to the other, says, Tammy, I don't know about this. This seems a bit dangerous, don't you think? And Tammy says, Davis, it's just one bag, and Wandy says that he'll that's the work we got. That's the job we got to do, and we got to do it.
Well, I'm convinced.
So they keep crawling. But then Davis says, criminy, Tammy, criminy, I feel a sneeze coming on. and his head, and he starts to go, and his head starts to expand and expand. And Tammy's like, now don't you do it. Don't you do it.
And she tries to put a hand over his mouth, but he sneezes. And she grabs onto him, and they fly around the entire room.
Flying around.
Like a deflating balloon.
Yeah, it goes... and they land behind the counter. And
Gazoon hat myself.
Davis excuses himself, and then...
and some of the guards, they start what's going on, they start waking up because they were all asleep at the in the watchtowers,
of course.
And they wake up and start ringing the bells. They're like, hey, intruders.
And so Tammy and Davis, well, Tammy's like, there's the bag, we gotta grab it and go. So they rush towards the vault, which is wide open. Because it's nighttime. Yeah, you know.
You got to air out the money.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it's not going to dry off by itself.
There's one bag in the middle that has the big dollar sign on it. And they grab it and they skedaddle out the back. And so they end up behind the bank, and Tammy opens the bag, and they look inside, and there's this like golden glow coming from inside. And Davis is like, Tammy, do you know how much money this is? This is enough for us to buy our own train car if we wanted.
$50.
A sign of the time.
Yeah, truly. So in a snap decision, they decide they're going to keep it, which is what causes this this sort of, the rest of the film is this chase between Wandy Weaseler and Tammy and Davis as this weasel tries to get his stolen money back.
Weasel's in one of those jalopies, and the jalopy's like,
don't worry, we'll catch him.
And jalopy's smoking a cigar.
They do this kind of back and forth where, like, they'll go into a shop, they buy new clothes. Wandy's outside, kind of just eyeing them and like being all like, creepy,
predatory.
Yeah. And so they come out of the shop, they got $48 left, and they're all decked out, you know, in new clothes. They've replaced their patched overalls with new overalls. Mm-hmm. and they
walk out, and Wandy Weaseler, he comes up to him and is like, pardon me, kids, did you see a pair of street urchins that went in there earlier? They kind of look like you, except you're wearing nice clothing. I never had proper schooling, which is neither here nor there. I don't know why I'm explaining this to a bunch of strangers. Anyway, did you see those kids?
And they say, no, we gotta go. We have to go. And they start to kind of go away. He's like, hey, wait a minute.
And he looks again, and they're dragging behind them this bag with a dollar sign on it. And he's like, that looks an awful lot like the bag I wanted.
Ah, must be a coincidence. As I say, I've never had any proper schooling.
And he goes back to looking in the clothes window, and they slip off.
They slip out of there.
So as they continue on their sort of journey, like you said, Henry, like they spent $2 to get new overalls. Kind of they're on almost a spending spree as they spend this money that they've taken from this weasel that's trying to get it back.
Right. Right.
So their next stop is to get new shoes.
They walk into the shoe shop, and the shoe shop owner is like, hello there! Welcome into my shoe shop! If you're looking for fancy shoes, look no further than right here! And all the shoes start to sing a song. They start to sing a song about how you're never...
There's beauty in the soul. That's what they sing.
Beauty in the soul.
And it's a giddy ditty, if you will. And
we will.
How did it go, Greg?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, it went like there's beauty in the soul. If you lace them right and you know a thing or two of laces, as beauty in the soul. You pair it with a smile and you looking good.
So this was another example of them really trying to beat the deadline to get their film out first.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like they asked the voice actors to just improvise in the booth and then animated to that later.
Yeah.
But the orchestra was good.
Orchestra was fantastic. And that was also, the orchestra was improvised. It was an improvised orchestra.
Crazy impressive, honestly. Mm-hmm. So they come out of their shoes. They're kind of tapping their feet as they walk out of the store. Tammy and Davis, they're kind of tapping their way down. They got tap shoes. They bought tap shoes.
They're literally tapping their way out.
So we get the finish of that number, and they get their little like solo tap routine, and they kind of spin around a street sign, and then they're like arm in arm kind of skipping down the street. And Wandy kind of peeks around a corner. He's like, I thought I knew those kids.
And his jalopy says from behind him,
yeah, those are those kids. I was trying to tell you down at the clothing store, but you wouldn't listen.
So Wandy jumps behind the wheel and he's like, we're gonna run them down. And they take off like a bullet out of a gun.
There's like, they leave a little smoke trail, and they're like, phew, there's like this tire spin for a second, and then
And they leave little outlines of themselves in dust, and then the dust starts to run after them.
To catch up.
And the Davis and Tammy look behind them and see the car, and their eyes bug out of their heads. Whoa! And they start to just book it. And so we get this funny little chase scene of a jalopy kind of just puttering along and the two kids running in front of it.
Jumping over trash cans and sliding underneath underneath rain gutters.
Right, and their legs are that like sort of just blur of motion.
Yeah.
And eventually the two kids kind of run around like a fire hydrant. They spin around. The jalopy just gets tired. He's like, "Whew, I'm exhausted." And a bunch of exhaust comes out of his pipe. And the kids kind of run down like a little side street, mm-hmm. and they're like, "We gotta get some hats." And they run into the store. the hat shop has a song, it fully improvised. How did that go, Greg?
That one was a lot more coherent. It went something like this: with a rat-a-tat and a punch a cat, there's nothing that fits you better than a hat. Oh.
And he's just in there punching this cat. It's a cartoon, so it's kind of funny.
It's a cartoon.
It works, but it's wrong.
It's like in Pinocchio when the like children start turning into donkeys. It's like they put this in a fun kids movie, and you're like, I'm disturbed by this.
Came in your store. We were not prepared for this.
Leave that cat alone. But it turns out the cat is the actual owner of the hat shop.
Yeah, and the cat says, "Don't worry, I paid him for this."
I'm a masochist.
Listen, there are some things that you may not like when you're a kid, but as you get older, and the kids are like, "We don't understand that yet," and he's like, "I know." Anyway, what can I get? What can I do for you, fine folks?
Welcome to Cat's Hats.
I see you have a big bag of money. And this is when we realize we're introduced to the character Fat Cat, who's he's all about
Fat
the green.
Cat the Masakitty.
Well, that's a pussy you could beat up. Oh, okay, sorry. No,
Jesus Christ.
That's what the guy who was punching him said. Yes.
Which I think meant something different at the time, you know.
Yeah.
It was a harmless reference to beating up an actual cat.
Seems like something that you would get as an adult. Like, seeing it as a kid, you'd be like, what?
And that's what the kids say. They go,
But yeah, this cat is like, "Here, it seems like that jalopy outside that looks very tired and driven by a weasel is after you. Why don't you hide out in the back room here where it's safe?" And I was already getting weird vibes from this cat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's in before he opens up his back room to these kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his back room, which turns out to be a speakeasy.
Right. Full of cats drinking milk.
And you get this that nice little like jazz and it's kind of like there's cats like there's two lovebird cats on the up on the stools, kind of like making googly eyes at each other. Mm-hmm. Over in the booth, you got little shady looking characters, and
then there's a stage and a cat at a piano, and the cat starts to play up the little piano, and a burlesque show starts to go on.
Uh-huh. And the fat cat's like, "Welcome to my home here. The cat's meow is what I like to call it."
Yeah.
And he leads them over to a table. He's like, "Have a seat right here. You'll be safe in here." Mm-hmm. And they sit down. He's like, "Do you guys like games?" And they're like, "We love games. We've never played them, but we love them."
I like the sound of them.
And he's like, I've got a great game that we could play. Listen, what makes it fun, though, is the stakes. Listen, so I'll wager this right here," and he puts a stack of bills on the table. He's like, "And you can wager what you have, and we'll make it a really exciting game." Mm-hmm. And they're like, "Well, I guess so. This was going to be our ticket out of here, but the games sound fun. I mean, that sounds good." And the cat, he's like, I'll wager you that you can't lift this glass up without getting any water on the table." And they're like, "That seems pretty easy. Mm-hmm. Okay." And he lifts it up and the bottom falls out and water splashes all over the table.
And he laughs him and he's like, you've just been had by a cat.
And he takes their bag of money and he starts to kind of do a little wiggle jig away. And he starts his there's a musical number that starts right here where he's basically saying, you got swindled. What was the song called? It was called You Got Swindled.
It was called You Got Swindled.
You Got Swindled for Your Bindle.
Ooh.
Yeah. It was called You Got Swindled for Your Bindle.
You've got swindled for your bindle.
And the
he's blowing smoke in their faces and really just like rubbing it all in their faces that he took all their money. And he basically kicks them out the back door.
Yeah, wasn't this cat voiced by Louis Armstrong?
I believe so.
Louis Armstrong's trumpet, yes. Actually, we might have that on the wall over here.
Oh yeah, look at that.
Wow, Louis Armstrong's trumpet. It's signed by Herb Alpert.
Well.
But on the picture, it's Louis Armstrong. Oh, Steve.
Steve went all out in here. So they're lying in the alleyway. They have no money, no hats. They didn't even get a hat.
No.
And then Wandy comes around the corner and we hear the jalopy kind of chugging along. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, funny seeing you guys here. And they're like,
had some bad luck in
a widow trouble
in the saloon.
Well, it's time to hand over the bag. Wait, where's the bag?
And they're like, listen, we got swindled for our bindles. And
there was a whole song about it.
We trusted him, and he got us pretty good.
And Wendy's like, well, luckily enough for you, I've got a plan. And all you need to do is sneak your way in and get one bag.
You just tiptoe right in there. You grab the bag and you tiptoe out. It's easy as pie. And then you give that bag to me.
They're like, this sounds too good to be true.
Listen, it can't be that easy, can it?
I guess we'll find out.
And he sneaks him in the back door, the same door that they were just kicked out of.
The exact same door.
This felt like a way to reuse some animation for sure.
Right. So
yeah.
The Louis Armstrong song plays in reverse, and and they find themselves back in the same booth that they were just in. And then they kind of sneak over to the stage. Mm-hmm. Where Fat Cat is watching the burlesque show and throwing money onto the stage. And they sneak up behind him and they just take the bag and they walk out.
Just like that.
And they get out to the alleyway and Wandy's waiting there for him.
Tapping his toe, chewing on a cigar.
And he says, well, give me the bag.
And just at that moment, Fat Cat bursts out the door because he's like, hey, my bag went missing, and there are two little sets of footprints leading out here.
I knew putting sand on the floor was a good idea.
And, hey, boys, get them!
And so this great little like chase sequence throughout the alley starts happening. They're ducking behind boxes and climbing over fences, and
they're crashing into trash cans. There's fish bones flying out all over the place. I mean,
And like the Fat Cat is just standing in the doorway of the back alley. You know, his henchmen are doing the chasing because, you know, he's a big cat, not the fastest.
Yeah, and this Fat Cat's the big cheese.
As they're going around, Tammy notices, she looks up, and there's hanging above Fat Cat is a piano on a rope with a little sign that says, spare piano, you know, for the club in case the other one is on the
fritz. In case the other one breaks down.
Sure. And so she's like, Davis, they're saying this as they're running, look up there.
And Davis says, well, I don't know how that could help. I don't know how to play the piano. She looks at the camera. Wah, wah.
So she yells to Wandy, and she's like, Wandy, look up there. And Wandy spots the piano, pulls out his Tommy gun, and shoots the rope, causing the piano to come crashing down onto Fat Cat.
Onto Fat Cat.
Yeah.
And there's a great little bit where it crashes And then Fat Cat pops out of the top of the piano, and he's got this whoa like disoriented eyes, and then he smiles, and it's all piano keys.
Classic.
And it
goes,
and it plays the scale on his teeth, and they all fall out. And Davis, Tammy, and Wandy run out to the jalopy, and Wandy's like, "Get in, I'll take you where you need to go." And they peel out.
Can we get one last shot of Fat Cat? And he seems pretty pleased by what happened. I mean, we know this is sort of what he's into, pain, you know. So
yeah,
he's like, "I don't even care about the bag. That was payment enough."
And Wandy drops the kids off back at the train station. He's like, your twain is weaving. You better get on it. And they're like, "Well, thank you for teaching us so much about life. And hey, these new overalls still look pretty good. So, well, you know, lesson learned there. Thank you for everything you've done. And we'll catch you later." And they start to wave. And so they get on the train.
The train, "All aboard!"
So, and Wandy looks in the bag, and there's no money. There's just a little puff of smoke comes out, and a bat flies out of the bag.
A bat flies out, a little fly.
A moth. And then we cut to Tammy and Davis on the train, and we see their bindles, and there's little dollar bills poking out of the top of them.
And we get that last shot of the train kind of going over the horizon, and little dollar bills flying out of the sides of the train. Like,
and one of them lands on the screen, and George Washington winks, and then
and he says, "That's all, folks." He did it first. They did it first.
That was the first. It was the first. Take that, Chuck.
Take that, Chuck.
Take that, Chuck.
Yeah, eat it, Chuck.
And you too, Walt.
Walt.
And that was that film, which the title we already said.
So yeah, for the first feature-length movie ever made.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry, first feature-length cartoon ever made.
Yes.
I mean, pretty good.
Pretty good, yeah. Pretty short. We glossed over all the commercials they built in that were just previous things they'd animated.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we'd already mentioned that, so we didn't think that we needed to mention it again.
Right. There's a couple times when, like, the jalopy mentions how great the cigars are, you know, and that.
He's like, "I only smoke Tamberson's brand."
And then we'd cut to a full-on commercial for that type of cigar.
9 out of 10 doctors agree that if you don't look at the facts, cigars are good for you.
Commercials were different back then.
They were mostly about cigarettes and cigars.
Yeah,
cigarettes and cigars.
That seemed to be this animation company's forte.
And they're bread and butter.
Mm-hmm. Novella. Oh, Novella brand cigarettes. There you go.
Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they were advertising other brands of cigarettes, but...
Yeah, you got to pay the bills.
Maybe that's why they're not around today.
Yeah. Not a great business decision.
Poor business choice. Well, hey, money is money. I mean, it's true.
And time is time.
Time after time.
If you look and you search, then you will find it. What is the weird? Yeah, that was it.
That's the one.
Those are the lyrics. Should we get to ratings?
Yes.
I think so.
Cool. I'm going to give this one a 4.
Four.
Yeah.
For what reason?
I'm going to give all four of those points are there because it was technically the first full-length animated film.
Gotta give credit where credit is due.
If it wasn't the first, I mean, I would give this a 0. I really,
if it had come out 3 hours later.
Thumbs down in that case. But this one, because it came out sooner than that, a tentative recommendation.
Well, tentative... is better than none. Better than none to ten.
Actually, I think the scale tops out on the tentative side.
Well, in that case, I'm gonna have to give this a 7-ative.
That was really good, Greg.
8
out of 10.
Out of 10.
Yeah, I liked it myself. I mean, it wasn't the greatest thing in the world, but I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, not my favorite, but. Definitely solid 8 out of 10 material. And if you want to suggest a movie, You can go ahead and reach out to us at cineplexpodcast@gmail.com or at cineplexpodcast on Twitter.
That's right, Henry.
You ain't wrong.
And if you wish, you can slide into the DMs.
Yeah, our DMs are open.
Slide into the DMs.
So hit us up and we'll review the a film that you suggest that we review. It's as simple as that. Simple transaction.
Simple as that. We will review a movie that you suggest and we'll review it.
It's a 1-2 punch, all right? Send in the movie. We'll watch it. Third punch for free. We'll review it.
The third punch is on us.
Yeah. And hey, the third punch is on us. Come on down to Break Room at the Cineplex. The third punch.
Much like Fat Cat, the third punch is on us.
Hey!
So thanks for listening. Jazz it up with Zatarans, and we'll catch you next time.
Well, yeah, I've got to go. I don't know what you two are going to be doing because I don't live your
We're
lives.
But
me, as the supervisor of the
Jazz It Up with Zatarans,
I'm going to go look over the applications for new workshops coming in next week. So,
oh, they're starting over with brand new workshops.
Yeah, you know what? Actually, I'm going to work on our tourism business.
That would be great.
Oh. That's a good idea.
We kind of dropped
sent
that.
Out a yeah, lot well, of the carrier pigeons.
That didn't last
pigeons.
Much longer after we sent the carrier pigeons yeah. out.
To advertise
Where'd
a thing that
go?
We don't have yet.
Well, now, wait a second. We were just throwing... We didn't even know if they were carrier pigeons. We were just throwing pigeons out the window.
Hey, it was your idea. Don't start to poke holes in it
yeah,
now.
You brought the pigeons.
Yeah, I assumed that you had found pigeons that knew what to do.
No. I thought that we were going to tell them what they were supposed to be doing, but I probably could have explained to them what we were doing as I was meticulously tying little letters, little notes to their legs. But
what was the name of the movie we just reviewed?
Bleaker's Farce.
Blaker's. Something like Blaker's Farce.
Blaker's Farce.
Why was it called that?
Because we were saying it all at the same time.
Bye.
Bye.